This week's edition of Sunday Night's Main Event is dedicated to the memories of Hannah Kimura, Shad Gaspar, and our friend, Larry Zonka.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Hello everyone and welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event, broadcasting across Canada on the TSN Radio Network. My name is Jason Agnew, and we've got a jam-packed 2 hours of wrestling news, reviews, and interviews coming at you tonight. Now, last night was AEW's first pandemic pay-per-view, Double or Nothing 2, the first ever casino ladder match, the debut of Brian Cage, the crowning of the TNT champion, and an appearance by Mike Tyson. It was a very interesting pay-per-view, probably just what wrestling fans needed to end the week, and we're going to break it all down for you tonight, chatting with Dave Meltzer a bit about it in our first hour. And then the second hour, you're going to get an extended version of the show if you're listening on Patreon, but you'll get a good chunk of this in hour two tonight. Mark Andrada is co-hosting with me, and we're going to do a real solid breakdown on AEW's Double or Nothing. But this week also marked the season 2 finale of Dark Side of the Ring, which brought back many, many sad memories for everyone who watched it. Yesterday was also the 21st anniversary of the death of Owen Hart. So tonight I wanted to have on a man that was featured in the documentary and is, of course, a friend of this show, Jimmy Corderas. Now, as I'm sure you're aware, Jimmy was the referee in the ring when Owen fell to his death. Jimmy was featured in Dark Side of the Ring, and later tonight he'll join us to chat about his perspective on what happened that night, May 23rd, 1999. We've got all that and more to come tonight on Sunday Night's Main Event. But listen, before we get to any of that, on a week that we've already been remembering the tragic death of Owen Hart, we experienced 3 deaths in the world of pro wrestling. Hannah Kimura, a wrestler in the Stardom promotion, passed away Friday at the age of 22. The death was a suicide, as it was revealed that she had ingested hydrogen sulfide. Previous to this, she had posted what came across as a suicide message on her social media, as well as photos of her arms being self-mutilated. The death appears to be the first result of a pro wrestler's depression coming from social media and cyberbullying. Kimura was the only child of Kyoko Kimura, a pro wrestling star who had retired in 2017. She grew up around the business and started at the age of 18. She was one of the 2 women to participate in a match at the Tokyo Dome this past January, and Kimura also starred in the reality show Terrace House. In an incident on Terrace House filmed in early January, a male housemate named Kai washed his clothes while her outfit that she wore at the Tokyo Dome was in the washer and then threw it in the dryer and ruined the outfit. She lost her temper and knocked his hat off his head. Since that incident aired, she had been getting hate messages from people all over the world and it sent her into depression. That depression ultimately ending her life. Now, this passing comes after the death of former WWE performer Shad Gaspar earlier this week. While swimming in the Pacific Ocean with his 10-year-old son last Sunday, Gaspard was caught in a strong rip current. He directed lifeguards to save his son before disappearing after a wave crashed down on him, submerging him. The U.S. Coast Guard suspended their search Tuesday after searching for nearly 17 hours with his body washing up on the shore of Venice Beach 3 days later. Shad was signed by WWE to a developmental deal in 2005, and he and Jason Paul, that's JTG, made their WWE Raw debut as Crime Time in October of 2006. He remained in WWE until his release in November of 2010, wrestling sparingly. Since then, he was trying to make it as an actor in Hollywood. Shad Gaspard was only 39 years old. Now, along with these 2 passings, there was also one more that hit much closer to home. I woke up on Monday morning to find out that Larry Zonka had passed away. Now, Larry was a regular contributor to this program when we used to do the Triple Threat segment. Larry was the best wrestling TV reviewer, period. It takes a lot of prep to do this show. I'm talking Sunday Night's Main Event or previously live audio wrestling. It takes a lot of prep. Larry was always someone that I could rely on to read his articles and reviews, and essentially for me as a host to be to be shorthand for what I needed to talk about. I couldn't remember a name or a result. I would 100% first person's article that I would go look for was Larry's recap. So because of that, when I started Sunday Night's Main Event, Larry was the first person that I didn't know personally that I reached out to be a part of the Triple Threat segment. And he was a regular for as long as the segment went. Now, this is a guy who, you know, maybe a couple years ago, he lost a leg. And he was still back to doing reviews as quick as possible. And when he returned to this show, he joked about the amputation. I mean, he was a good guy, a great reviewer, and absolutely personally, I will miss him. I will miss his work. Now, Larry leaves behind two children, so if you are interested in helping them and his family, they've set up a GoFundMe. The URL is kind of tough to find, so if you want to find it, all you have to do is search for Larry Zonka GoFundMe or Larry Mania : living on in his girls. You'll find it. And you can put your donation in. I've donated on behalf of Sunday Night's Main Event. So I've thrown a bit of money there to help his family out, just as a thank you to all his contributions for this show over the 2 years that we've been going. All right. That's enough for now, I guess. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. I do want to talk to Dave Meltzer about these passings. I promise you the whole show will not be gloom and doom. All of these things just seem to go along with the Owen Hart Dark Side of the Ring season finale, which I was going to talk about this week anyway. So let's face it, we're going to have a bit of a sad, dark first hour here. I mean, it's good stuff. The Jimmy Corderas interview is excellent. It just falls on the side of sad with Jimmy recounting what he went through 21 years ago. The second hour, we'll lighten it up. We've got a detailed review on last night's AEW show. But that's what we're going to do coming up next. Dave Meltzer, stick with us. Sunday night's main event, unfortunately, where wrestling has gotten a little too real this week. Right here on TSN Radio.
Walking around some kind of lonely clown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
Hello, Gordy Levesque here. No one swings and hacks like I do. And no one struts quite like I do too. And no one brews beer like Great Lakes do. Canuck Pale Ale, my beer, your beer, our beer. Available in over 400 LCBO and grocery store across Ontario for only $2.80. Great Lakes Brewery. Brewed for you, Ontario.
Oh, it's time! It's time!
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider.
Guess who's back? Guess who's back?
With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
Welcome back to Sunday night's main event. Up earlier in the show this week is Dave Meltzer. And Dave, thanks for joining us for what has been a very, very depressing week in the world of wrestling.
Yeah. I mean, the death of Chad Gaspard was hard.
Yeah.
And then essentially for a lot of people, and me included, maybe more than most, the whole week was almost consumed. You know, it was like immediately Chad Gaspard.
Yep.
And then the death of Owen Hart 21 years ago this week, and the Dark Side of the Ring, and just kind of like reliving that, you know, one of the most horrible things that ever happened in wrestling. And then the Hana Kimura thing, which was just devastating on a completely different level. You know, just another, you know, sad thing and kind of a sad part of our culture that, like, you know, we see every single day, but we never address. So that was kind of sad. And then, you know, AEW, I have to say, I mean, when that show was over, it was like, I think a lot of people needed that show. That show was such a great show to cap off what was not a great week.
Yeah. So let's start from the beginning then, Dave. Shad Gaspar, really someone who it's quite incredible in his passing. He's a guy who saved his son and sacrificed himself. And there was also that story from a few years ago where, what was it, an armed robbery he stopped?
It was in South Florida. I guess the guy actually had a BB gun, but he didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
A guy pulled out a gun on him, and, you know, he just made his move, and you know, the guy was a lot smaller than him, but he made his move and got it, and took the guy down and held him down until the police came, you know, choked him and everything, threw him out of the convenience store. But yeah, I mean, he essentially stopped an attempted armed robbery in 2016. So, I didn't know him like what I would say well, but I certainly knew him. And I mean, he was a real, you know, everything that you read, and I mean, it's funny because I have seen so many people, and I mean, the comments were, you know, I really can't say I was his close friend, but every time I was around him, I felt like I was his close friend. And I would say that's exactly how I would say, you know, it's like when I was around him, and it wasn't much, but because it wasn't like I would ever like, you know, like we would go like, okay, let's meet, because we didn't live anywhere near each other. But he was in Las Vegas a lot, and I would go to Las Vegas a lot for UFCs, and, you know, he just happened to find me, you know, at a restaurant or something. We'd sit down and talk, and it was like, you know, from probably 10, 15 minutes into the first time I met him, like just your buddy. I mean, like really nice guy. And everyone said that he was, you know, he was great to have in the locker room. He made everybody upbeat. He was just a really cool guy.
Had he given up on wrestling completely?
You know, I don't want to say completely. He still did indies from here and there, but he years ago really wanted to get into acting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was his thing, and he was, you know, he had penned a television series based on his, you know, based on pro wrestling. He wanted to do comic books. He did some acting. I mean, that was definitely what he wanted to do. I think that he kind of knew that he wasn't going to get hired back by WWE, you know, and especially as he got older.
Right.
And you know, he was just trying to, you know, provide, you know, for his family and in something that he could do for a lot longer than wrestling. You know, it was interesting, too, because I from my conversations with him, I really think he, you know, there was maybe a small regret. I don't want to say it was big, but something like, you know, he definitely had interest. He had a lot of interest in MMA.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he had a lot of experience growing up, you know, learning to fight and everything, you know, and taking fighting classes and doing boxing as a teenager and things like that, and wrestling as a teenager. And I think that he, you know, he's a really big, strong guy. And I think that he had that in him, but, you know, he just drifted towards pro wrestling. He had tried out for the second season of Tough Enough. And I don't know exactly what it was, but he ended up being disqualified for something in his medical. So it could be like, you know, could be anything. And then, so he wasn't on the show. And then he on his own went to OVW for several years, you know, because that's where you go at that in that time in you know, just for WWE to notice him. And it took a couple of years. I mean, as big and strong as he was, I mean, they didn't sign him instantly because he was so green. And then they did sign him, and then, you know, eventually he had several years on the main roster with JTG as Crime Time. And, you know, I mean, but, you know, I mean, when we would talk about WWE, it was kind of like more in comedic terms. You know, I mean, it wasn't. And when he was done with it, it's like, I think the kind of way he would phrase it to me was, like, I'm not saying I would never go back, but I'm not really thinking about going back either.
Okay. The most recent passing, Hana Kimura, only 22 years of age. And this is confirmed now to be a suicide, Dave?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what's confirmed and what's not, but she ingested, what was it, hydrogen, I forget what the thing is. She ingested something that was basically toxic.
Right.
And yeah, it was actually, it actually happened When the first tweet started coming around about she's threatening to kill herself, she actually pretty much, I think, already had by the time we knew that. But it just took hours before I think the word got out and everything like that. But, yeah, it was like she passed away at or the police came and she was dead at like 4 a.m. on early Friday morning, Japan time, which is, you know, whatever it is, 16 hours ahead of me on the West Coast. So
she was a wrestler and also was in this reality show, and it seems like a conflict from this reality show led to cyberbullying and her taking that to heart, and that is what has transpired here, combined with previous bouts of depression?
Yeah, that's, I think, a fair way of putting it. She was on Terrace House, which is on Netflix. It's, people see it worldwide. And I mean, from what I understand, not having seen the shows, she came off really well and really nice, but she lost her temper when one of the housemates that she had just been on a double date with put her ring outfit from the Tokyo Dome show, you know, which is, you know, and her favorite ring outfit, and put it in the dryer and ruined it, and she just, like, went off on him. She threw a fit, and then what happened was, because of the pandemic, they stopped filming. And because of the pandemic, they stopped wrestling. You know, she stopped wrestling as well.
Right.
So, because there were no new episodes, she was just getting harassed. I guess she said, like, every day there'd be 100 people telling her to die and things like that. And, you know, you think as a, you know, when you're in the spotlight, that's just like everyone in the spotlight gets that. So you kind of think, oh, you know, you brush it off. But whatever, I mean, for whatever reason, you know, and she was bullied a lot when she was a kid growing up because of, you know, being mixed race and mixed ethnicity.
Right.
And, you know, I guess it was just, you know, I mean, who knows? But I mean, she tried to mutilate her arms before. I mean, she just, whatever it was, just, you know, put her over the edge. I mean, it's such a sad story, and she was, she had so much presence. I think that's, you know, a lot of people have never seen her at Pro Wrestling Live, and I mean, she was going to be the biggest woman superstar in Japan. I mean, not the greatest wrestler, but she just had a certain look and presence that captivated a lot of the fans. I mean, she had the mainstream appeal to build that company around, and that's why she was on the reality show, because she had that, and she went on the reality show with the idea that, you know, I'm going to help, because the Japanese women's wrestling business is not that big. You know, they're trying with Bushiroad having purchased Stardom. This year was like the year that, like, we're going to push to try to get it back like it was 25, 28 years ago when it was really big. And, you know, and even bigger 35 years ago and 40 years ago. I mean, there's a history in Japan of women's wrestling being huge. It is not now. And I think that, you know, Bushiroad and you know, was really looking at this year being the year that we're going to get it back, and we're going to get the women fans back, and we're going to try to expand it, you know, because it's an entertaining culture, you know, it's an entertaining show, and she was going to be one of the two faces of the brand, and I think she would have been the face of the brand because she had so much more charisma than the other woman, Julia, and you know, so this is devastating for the company, but it's just a devastating story, and what's amazing to me about it is it really, like, if you had told me, I don't know, you know, like, something like this would happen, I would have never imagined, I mean, certainly everyone who knew her, I would imagine the outpouring, but this, the outpouring, I mean, Stardom was just completely overwhelmed, and I, you know, I was too, at, you know, just how much, I guess maybe because of the subject was cyberbullying, and and you know, a young girl committing suicide, and the fact, you know, there are a lot of people who watch that reality show as well. But this was so, excuse me, like, you know, like, so many mainstream outlets in the United States covered it, you know. I mean, I was, and so many celebrities in Japan and all over the world had contacted Stardom, and I mean, just the reaction in the pro wrestling community. I mean, it's one thing, you know, Shad Gaspard, who everybody knew from WWE, it's, you know, a WWE star. It's another to have this kind of an outpouring, and every wrestling company but one, of course, but every wrestling company immediately, you know, it's like, you know, posted something, and it was a story that really hit the hardcore wrestling community so hard.
All right, Dave. Third one, which is, of course, Dark Side of the Ring, Owen Hart. Set the record for most viewers on Vice. What'd you think?
It was excellent.
It was
to me, my favorite episode previously had been the Von Erich episode.
Right.
And I liked this one more. And I think the reason why is the way it was edited and the ending where, I mean, the line by Martha at the end, just where she goes, I think he's looking down, you know, like at what we did and going, you know, bravo. Because there were so many people who, you know, villainized her, which always upset me.
I've seen so much of that again, and it's unbelievable to me how you can villainize a woman who has lost her husband. Like, wrestling fans, there is more important things than wrestling. It's insane to me.
Well, especially with her, because it's one thing to survive. It's another thing to thrive. And I mean, like, she took the most absolute negative thing that could ever happen to her, the worst, and she came out of it, and she, you know, went to college and became a doctor, and her kids came out great, you know, very successful. She started this foundation in Owen's name, and, you know, has helped, you know, so many people get to college, so many that wouldn't have been able to go, people get first homes, helping people who, you know, obviously, luckily you live in Canada where the medicine, you know, it's not,
yeah.
You know, the medicine situation.
We got Medicare still, yep. Tommy Douglas,
so,
yep.
It's so superior to what we have. But the point is, even so, if you have a child who has cancer and you have to take them to a facility, I mean, they helped people, like, whether it's lodging or food, you know, families that have to be there. You know, I mean, that's just the stuff, some of the things that they've done. And to look at the work that she's done, you know, her studies, how she's raised her kids as a single mom, just a hardworking and really, really, like, brilliant woman, and a survivor. I mean, if you look at what she's done, to me, you have to be impressed. Or, you know, I don't see how you're not. And the worst part is being, you know, villainized by a wrestling community that should have embraced her for everything that she's done. And you know, I still got stuff after, you know, what about the WWE Hall of Fame? And it's like, I just think that, like, if you watch that show and some of the interviews that she did, whether it was with me or with Jericho, where it's like, you know, that's just really not that important in the story.
No.
And if you don't understand why her reasons, I mean, to me, it's so easy to understand her reasons, and I would never want to convince her otherwise, because, I mean, to her, it's too personal. And I mean, the other thing, too, that I think a lot of people really didn't know was the level of negligence in the story.
Yeah.
And I think maybe because it didn't go to trial, you know, it didn't come out. She wrote a book, but not everyone, you know, not a lot of people read the book. But I mean, everyone, well, Sting did it a whole bunch of times. This was not the same thing Sting did. It was not even close. It wasn't the same people. People have been told for 20 years, oh, it was the same people that did the Sting thing. It was the same thing Sting did. It was not the same people, and it was not the same stunt. It was a far more dangerous stunt done, you know, and just everything about it, you know. And then the court case that she had to endure. I mean, she was not the villain in this court case. She, you know, and they tried to make her into this villain, you know, and. But yeah, that's why I was really glad when that thing was over, because when it was over, if you were of rational mind and you watched that, okay, you finally know what the story is, and if you didn't know before, now you get it. And they could have gone a lot harder against Vince, but you know what? To me, that wasn't the story. The story was her. The story was that she was a survivor, and the story was what a great guy Owen was. All those clips of Owen with the kids, man, that was, I'd never seen anything like any of that stuff, And I thought that was so powerful.
Yeah, I did as well. I shed a tear watching, and it was just all about the, you know, the human side. And Dave, your interview with Martha is up now, by the way. So there's like, this is like over an hour, and it's yourself and Martha Hart. So for those of you listening right now, check it out, of course, at WrestlingObserver.com. It's another great interview to get even more in-depth into this, because we only did have an hour here. I do have one question for you, Dave. There was no presence from the Hart side. I thought it could have used Brett. We didn't get Brett.
Brett was asked and never got back to them. Brett was asked. And they made the decision. The way I heard, there's only a certain number of people. I think they really wanted JR because they've done a lot of shows with JR. And yeah. He was there with the call. And Jimmy Corderas, obviously, who was there in the ring. And Cornette, who was fabulous on that show.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic on that show. You know, I mean, obviously Jim's polarizing everybody, but you got to call, you know, that in fairness, he was fantastic on the show. And I think that the feeling was, is that, you know, they interviewed a lot of people with the Owen Hart Foundation and things like that. And I think that the decision was made, we could get, other family members, and they couldn't get anyone from WWE. I mean, I guess they could have probably gotten Harry or whatever, but they went with Ogen Athena was the decision.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so that's why. But Brett would have been in it had he wanted to be, for sure.
Interesting. Okay, I'm glad I got that answer, because that was one of the first things I thought of. I'm just like, this is great, but Brett was a face that I kind of expected. All right, well, we have Jimmy Corderas on later in the show, so we'll be talking about that more. Let's move on. Okay, let's push that aside, Dave. Last night, I mean, just quickly, the button on the end of the week was AEW's pay-per-view last night. You know, they were against the odds of, once again, no fans in attendance, just spattered people in the crowd. Was going to be a tough go, but it really did seem like something that wrestling fans needed last night.
Yeah, I mean, under the circumstances, it was just tremendous. You know, a lot of undercard people, MJF, Jungle Boy, and Hikaru Shida, in particular, really stood out and really gave, you know, strong performances almost every match. The effort was there. Like you know, empty arena matches are very difficult. And just to see how good, you know, the Shida and Nyla Rose and the... and the MJF and Jungle Boy match, and you know, on as undercard matches, and then you know Cody and Lance Archer was very, very strong, and Moxley and Brody Lee was great, just a great match. So when you go through that, and then you know they cap it off, they ended that thing with, I mean, that was one of the most entertaining spectacles I've ever seen in pro wrestling. It was so creative. It's a different thing, but. You know, it was like, I was like laughing,
yeah.
You know, I was like smiling.
Yep.
It was like the perfect thing after this week to have. You know, I mean, some people, it's not wrestling and it's not traditional wrestling. And, I mean, it would have been entertaining on any day, any time. And they're probably going to do it again because the reaction to it was so successful. You know, they'll probably do Stadium Stampede as one of their signature events, maybe once a year or something now, I'm going to guess. But, I mean, I would say, like, you know, I mean, if you build it, you know, you can do it. I mean, obviously it worked. But at the same time, it's like, for this week, you know, that was the perfect main event.
Yep. Let's call it on that. Let's end it on a positive note, Dave. Of course, your interviews with Martha's there up at WrestlingObserver.com.
And there's also an interview with Ross Hart that, I mean, who was Owen's older brother. And there was so much stuff about Owen growing up, and that's actually one of my favorite interviews of the year that I've done, is the Ross Hart interview that I did on Friday.
Great. WrestlingObserver.com is where my listeners can find that, and we'll talk to you next week at the same time. Thanks, Dave.
Okay, have a great week.
You too. All right, we got to head out to a break. When we come back, let's do a little turnbuckle trivia, and we'll do some Double or Nothing there, and then we will chat with Jimmy Corderas and go a little bit further into the Owen Hart story, just because it was all over the place this week due to Dark Side of the Ring. So we'll lighten up next as we do some turnbuckle trivia right here. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, and doing so on TSN Radio.
I'd say goodbye, love.
Thanks for finding Sunday night's main event right here on TSN Radio. If you ever can't tune into the show live or miss a part or just want to hear it again, the shows are available at patreon.com/SNMEradio. And it's only $1 a show. Plus, you get access to all of our patron-exclusive podcasts, which include NXT TakeOver review shows. Just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio. It's only $1 a show, and we appreciate the support.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday night's main event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there, and they say yeah.
It is Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday night's main event. We have two gentlemen on the line from very far away from one another. First of all, player one is going to be Josh from Hickory, North Carolina. Josh, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Hey, you know, I'm holding up here in Toronto. Your opponent, though, all the way from England, it's our pal Shane. How you doing, Shane?
I'm doing well. Doing very, very well.
All right, guys, here we go. We're doing Turnbuckle Trivia, so five questions each. Back to straight-up trivia this week. Whoever does better wins the T-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com. It's a T-shirt of your choice. And I do know that, Shane, you have been sent T-shirts once, and they were just random T-shirts, and it wasn't even your order. So we're going to get it right this time.
Yes, indeed.
It was just random T-shirts that were very small, clearly for a girl. We got you the right order, and we had you send those to the actual person they were going to. But that can happen sometimes. So here we go, gentlemen. Alrighty, first player is Josh, and that means, Josh, you get the first question. Your topic today, in honor of last night, Double or Nothing, except we flash back to 1 year ago. Double or Nothing, the first one. Josh, first question. Last year's Double or Nothing event took place at what venue?
The MGM Grand.
That is correct, Josh. Very good. Okay, Shane, what match kicked off the show on the buy-in last year?
Oh, goodness. Oh, the Battle Royal, I think, wasn't it?
Yes, it was the Battle Royal, and I'll give you that. It was the Casino okay. Battle Royal. Very good, Shane. Okay, here we go. Now to you, Josh. Who won the Casino Battle Royal?
Gosh, I cannot remember.
Josh, it was Hangman Adam Page who won the Casino Battle Royal. Now, Shane, to go along with that, who is the last person that Page eliminated to win?
I have no idea on that.
It was MJF. Guys, always better to give out a guess. Next up, we go back to you, Josh, and it's the winner of the Casino Battle Royal would go on to fight for the title at which event?
At All Out.
That's correct, Josh. Very good. All right, Shane. Page, as in the gentleman who won, as we just stated, Hangman Page, he wasn't supposed to be in that Battle Royal, if you remember. It was originally announced that he was to face whom?
I'm never good with AEW.
Oh, this is a source of controversy from last year. Take a guess.
I can't remember.
You're buzzed out. It was Pac. He was supposed to face Pac, and they got into creative differences. Okay, so it is 2-1 right now for Josh, and this question is for Josh. What was the main event of Double or Nothing last year?
Jericho and Omega.
That is correct, Josh. Very good. Okay, Shane, here we go. Your question here. The pay-per-view culminated with the debut of what wrestler?
I want to say Jack Swagger.
No, it was not Swagger. It was Jon Moxley who debuted at the end. And with that,
of course,
that,
it was. Yes,
of course it was, right? It was the big DDT or paradigm shift on the casino chip that Mark Andrade loved much. Well, that is a 3-1 victory because you can't catch up, Shane. So, Josh, congratulations. We're going to be sending you a T-shirt. Any guess as to what you're going to get?
Oh, I think it might be time for an Orange Cassidy shirt.
Okay. Orange Cassidy it is. I will get your details. Shane, thank you for playing the game. Josh, congratulations. And we are done for this week. Another edition of Turnbuckle Trivia. That is, the show is not done. If you want to play, the way to get in on Turnbuckle Trivia for all of you listeners who are not yet patrons, all you have to do is become a patron, hit the Turnbuckle Trivia level, and I will get you scheduled in to play one of these. And if you win, just like Josh just did, your choice of t-shirts from our pals at ProWrestlingTees.com. Your choice, any t-shirt you like, if you win the game, will be sent right to your door. We're going to take a break. When we come back, my chat with Jimmy Corderas about the Dark Side of the Ring Owen Hart show that was on this past week. I will get Jimmy's thoughts next right here. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event and doing so on TSN Radio. I want to pull the wire.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
I remember hearing a gasp from the crowd.
What do you mean Owen failed?
He goes, Owen just failed.
There was Owen. He was like laying in the ring, like face up.
Is this really real?
I said, something's wrong. It was unnecessary. It didn't need to happen.
If someone doesn't just fall from the top of an arena, something went wrong.
It is Sunday Night's Main Event that you are listening to. A very sad first hour, and I do promise you we will brighten it up in hour two when Mark Andrada will join me to chat about the AEW pay-per-view, which I do think was just what all wrestling fans needed after this very sad week in wrestling. But before we get there, I did want to have Jimmy Corderas on this show. Reason being, earlier in the week when I saw that Owen Hart, you know, the Dark Side of the Ring was doing the special on Owen Hart, I actually sent a note to Jimmy. I've known him for 20 years. And this reminded me that I had known Jimmy for 20 years. So I know the story that Jimmy was in the ring when Owen fell. And I sent Jimmy a note saying, hey, were you interviewed for this documentary? And he said, yes, he was. And immediately I invited him on to chat on this show. And this is also an interview that is, you know, it's pretty mainstream, so I used it on my late shift show as well. I kind of hated to take Jimmy back into this space, but I also felt like there is so much being an eyewitness and being right there that was cut out of Dark Side of the Ring. And I wanted to give Jimmy his time to talk about this with the new spotlight being put on the Owen Hart death. In tragedy with Dark Side of the Ring. So you probably did see Jimmy in the Dark Side of the Ring episode, and he joined me earlier this week to give his story, his recollections, not only on the death. That is also something that I wanted to state here. I didn't just want to have him on to talk about Owen's tragedy, but I wanted to hear about Owen as a person, because he's a great guy. So here is Jimmy Corderas and myself and chatting from earlier this week.
Well, thanks for having me, Jason. And I wish, you know, we could talk under better circumstances, but it's so topical now. You know, let's just go ahead and let's do it.
Well, you know, I agree. I mean, I would love to be bringing you on to talk about what's going on in the current wrestling world and all of that. But you're right. It is extremely topical. The 21st anniversary coming up and then Dark Side of the Ring being the season finale. You were interviewed for the show. You told your recollection of that night 21 years ago. But Jimmy, like, is it still hard to believe?
It absolutely is. And from the show last night, obviously the interview went much longer than what was shown last night, but, you know, obviously because of TV time and constraints, there was a lot more that I could have shed on the subject. But again, this is not about me. This is about, you know, the tragedy of Owen. And it's tough because now, you know, going through that process of trying to remember everything that you have kind of bottled up and kept hidden, locked away, trying not to remember for all these years. Now these memories are coming back. Now these emotions are coming back, and you start recalling little things that you thought you wouldn't remember, and it gets tougher. Mm-hmm. You think after time it would get easier. They say that time heals all wounds. Sometimes the wounds never go away. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Jimmy. Now before we get into, you know, that night and what happened that night, I want to talk about Owen. I mean, yes, we're going to talk about his passing, but tell me about him. I know you were close to Owen. You got to work with him for many years. You got to see him come up in the business. I never got the chance to meet him, but I've literally only heard good things about this man. And that's not just when someone passes, you only talk about good things. Like, all I've heard is there's nothing bad to say. He was one of the good ones.
Absolutely he was. And especially in an industry where jealousy and that competitive nature kind of takes over sometimes and can cause some negativity. He was always a positive, bright spot. And he was the guy that, for lack of a better term, kept the locker room together with his, you know, he's a classic prankster, or as we call in the wrestling business, a ribber. Mm-hmm. And none of his pranks were malicious. They weren't harmful. They were funny. They kept everybody laughing, and it was almost like a badge of honor to get ribbed by Owen Hart.
And he was also, as was shown in the documentary, and I had heard this before, also, you know, very much a family man. You get a lot of guys going into the wrestling business, and it's show business. Like, it's sports and entertainment. It's athletic and it's entertainment. But a lot of guys are there for the stardom. And I really, in everything that I've read, in everything that I've seen, did not get that feeling of what I know of Owen Hart. But you knew him personally. He was there because he was good at it.
He was there. He was definitely good at it. He was one of the best at it. It almost came natural to him, and especially in a family, a wrestling family, where all his brothers and his dad were all wrestlers, and his of course, Brett being the most famous Hart of all. But Owen seemed the most naturally gifted one of all. And it's not that he didn't love the business. He loved his family more, and it was more he was using one passion to fuel his greater passion and make a better life for his family. He enjoyed, like Jason, you know, so you've probably heard some of the stories in the day, the guys partying and having a good time and going out, and you know, it's that rock star lifestyle. Owen was never that. Owen was the kind of guy that would, you know, after the match, he'd grab a bite to eat. He'd go to his hotel room, never, you know, lived extravagantly. Pretty much always had someone in every town picking him up and driving him somewhere so he didn't have to spend money on a rental car and stuff like that. He saved pretty much as he could, and he did it for his family. And for him, family came first.
Did he have an out clause, Jimmy? I had heard rumors that he had a plan where once he had made some money and was pretty much set up, he was going to leave the business and perhaps... firefighter was something that I had heard. Did you ever hear that?
Well, I heard that he wanted to be a firefighter. Now, I don't know of a time frame. I don't know if there was a specific set date for him or, you know, a monetary figure, because I was never privy to that stuff. But I had heard the stuff that he wanted to be a firefighter at one point, and it kind of fits with his personality. You know, outside of wrestling, because we saw, you know, obviously you see the over the top personalities that he portrayed in the WWF, WWE, but him picturing Owen saving lives is not a stretch at all.
We're chatting with Jimmy Corderas. He's a former WWE referee and was actually in the ring waiting for Owen Hart and The Godfather to have their match the night of Owen Hart's tragic accident. We're doing this because on Crave right now, the series finale, or the season 2 finale of The Dark Side of the Ring just aired yesterday, and it was about the last days of Owen Hart. So Jimmy, I mean, I do kind of hate to take you down this road, but I mean, you were interviewed and you were there that night in the ring waiting. Give us your perspective on the events that transpired.
To give you a little foreshadow, like earlier in the day, you know, what happens is we get our referee assignments, and then we get with the talent to find out what we're doing that night, because it's no secret that in the pro wrestling world, the outcomes are predetermined. So I got with the talent and to find out what they wanted to do that night, and everything seemed okay. And I had already heard that you know, Owen was going to do this spectacular descent from the ceiling like he had done before and thought nothing of it. Now, I can't attest to the fact that he actually rehearsed it during the day. I heard he had, but because I had other duties, like, you know, with ring crew and all, I multitasked at that time. I wasn't just a referee. So I was running around all over the building, so I never witnessed the rehearsal of it, but apparently he had rehearsed it a couple of times. So it came time for the match, and I went out to the ring, and prior to that match was a hardcore match, which means there was a lot of debris in the ring, you know, broken tables and that sort of stuff. So what I was doing was I ran out early to help, you know, kind of clear some of the debris out of the ring. And if you can picture this, my left hand was holding the top rope, the entrance side, and I was working to actually walking along the rope, kicking debris outside the ring and actually moving towards that corner, when it's so difficult to describe because everything happened like instantaneously. I felt something brush against the side of my head, and then my right side of my head and my shoulder, and the top rope that I was holding snapped out of my hand and came back and jammed my fingers, and I heard this, for lack of a better term, sickening thud, and you know, in the confusion, I'm like, for lack of a better term, ducking, mm-hmm. duck for cover, and in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, did the top rope snap? Is that why? And did somebody throw something from the audience? That's what's going through my mind now, because at this point, I haven't noticed what happened. And I turn around and I look, and the top rope is there, and I'm wondering, and I look and I see Owen is laying there with his head towards the corner, you know, face up. And I didn't put two and two together, honestly. I was confused. Like, what the heck is going on here? And I went over and I called to him a couple of times, and I could see his face was, like, even through the mask, you can tell it was white. And his eyes were wide open, and I knew instantaneously that we needed help. So I started just screaming to the timekeeper, Mark Yaton, for help, and please somebody get out here. And I didn't want to touch him. The first thing I thought, don't move him, don't touch him, don't do anything. Let the right people do what they need to do. It was incredible. One thing that caught my eye too, in hindsight, you know, you remember these little things. On his left arm, there was a little abrasion or something. It looked like around, almost like somebody took a small ice cream scooper and scooped it out of his forearm. You know, it kind of like a wound. And I don't know if that was from hitting the turnbuckle, the rope, or something, but I did notice that too.
Now, I don't want to get into, you know, there was obviously legal proceedings after this, and you're not a part of any of that, and I don't want to ask you about any of that. I had heard, though, from various accounts that as he fell, and you know, we talked about Owen saving lives potentially as a firefighter, and you said that's very fitting. Now, I had heard that he was yelling as he came down from the rafters to get out of the way to you. Did you hear, I know it's loud. Did you hear any of that?
I can't confirm that he was actually yelling towards me, but I did hear some yelling. And again, you're in a building with, you know, 10, 15,000 people, whatever it is. So I didn't think anything of it at the time, but I have been told by several people that it was him just screaming to everybody below, you know, look out.
I mean, that's
it's again, not out of character for him. If that is the case, it's definitely not out of character for him.
Yeah. Jimmy, one of the biggest criticisms here, along with all the legal stuff that happened, is the fact that WWE had someone die in their ring. And the show continued on. You were there. You were part of the crew. You were a referee. Did you have to work again that night?
Actually, no. Actually, after the incident, if I could take a moment to kind of walk through this, after they had got Owen on the stretcher, you know, they had someone performing, I guess, CPR, like basically straddled on him as they were wheeling him out. And for some weird reason, I don't know why I did it, I just scooped up his blue blazer cape and walked back, you know, clutching that and following the stretcher back. And when I got to the back, you know, Jeff Jarrett was cutting the promo and you could see tears in his eyes, and right. Deborah was crying, and somebody grabbed the cape from my hands, and I just followed the stretcher out to the ambulance, watched them load him in, and I was literally shaking. And one of the crew guys sat me down on the steps out there in the back in the loading area, and gave me a cigarette. I was smoking at the time and just trying to calm me down. And John D'Amico, who's one of the production guys, came out and said, okay, you're all right. I'm going to go get your stuff. We have to go. And I said, go where? He said, we got to go get you checked out. I said, get me checked out where? And he said, we got to take you to the hospital, get you checked out. And I said, I'm confused now. I have, like, I'm in a weird place. I don't know what is, you know, we're up and down, and I'm just, okay, whatever we need to do, let's do. So they took me to the hospital to get checked out, and they went through concussion protocol at the hospital. So I wasn't at the venue while the show was continuing. So I don't know who, I'm assuming Vince made the call, but I don't know how the decision was made, what the thought process was or anything like that. I only found out the next day that the show continued.
Right.
Because to this day, even after leaving the hospital, I don't remember traveling from Kansas City to St. Louis. No matter how much I try to think, did we drive? Did we fly? Was it the crew bus? I vaguely remember driving along a river, but other than that, no clue how we got to St. Louis that day, that night.
I mean, after being a part of this, Jimmy, you did watch the documentary last night. You revisited all of this once again after 21 years. What did you think, for lack of a better question?
I thought it was well done. The guys who do the Dark Side of the Ring series do a wonderful job, Jason and Evan. But last night was especially tough to watch, you know, for personal reasons, you know, that one. And I'll even go back to the Eddie Guerrero one, because Eddie and I were very close as well. But, having my wife by my side helped me get through it. And it's tough to relive those memories. It really is. And, you know, I thought they did a good job. I think that was one of those episodes, I hate to say it, as hard as it was to watch, it almost needed 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Could have used another hour to tell more of the story. You know, it just felt rushed. And that's the selfish side of me, just wanting to hear more of the story, but at the same time having a difficult time hearing the story again.
I agree with you, though. As someone who's followed the business for 20 plus years now, worked on the, you know, on the hosting and the radio side of it, with specialty programming, I agree. I mean, this was a story. It's one of the most tragic stories of all time. You know, Owen comes up, Chris Benoit comes up for very different reasons. They gave Benoit 2 episodes. I did feel this was rushed. I also, Jimmy, found it strange that there was no presence from Bret Hart or anyone from the Hart family. And I found, as good as it was, and the story was told well, I do find that I feel as though Bret should have been in this.
Oh, I agree, because it would have been great. I mean, we heard snippets from Bret in the past, some of his thoughts on what happened that night and that sort of thing, but it would have been nice to get his perspective on this. And the sad thing about it is there seems to be a rift between himself, not Bret himself, but the Hart family and Martha, yeah, and Oj and Athena. And that's the sad part. I'm happy that the kids, Oj and Athena, seem to be doing well. I mean, Oj is a lawyer and Athena's a journalist, and that's fantastic. You know, being able to accomplish that, and it's just sad that in a moment where the family, that entire family should have came together, it seems like it drove them apart. And the sad part is, I don't think that Owen would have wanted this rift in that family. I believe that he would want them to be together.
Yeah, of course, knowing his personality. Well, listen, Jimmy, I appreciate you being on the show tonight. I really hate to take you down to these memories. Perhaps it could be a bit cathartic, but thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it, because obviously, you know, you were there. I'm sorry that you had to go through this and live through it once, but I really appreciate you taking time out and doing this.
No, I appreciate you reaching out, Jason. Always a pleasure talking to you. And maybe next time we talk about Owen, I can tell you some of the fun stories and some of the laughs that we had along the way.
Sounds good, Jimmy. Yeah, next time, all good things on the show when we chat next.
Perfect.
Former WWE official Jimmy Corderas there telling his story of that tragic night in Kansas City, April 23rd, 1999. Hard to believe it's so many years ago. And for, you know, we mentioned the joking there. Owen Hart was known as a prankster, and there's actually bonus material from interviews that had been released from the Dark Side of the Ring producers talking about Owen as a prankster. Definitely an episode that needed more than a one-hour special. It could have been extended. I kind of wish that they had done another double like they did for Chris Benoit. To me, this was the story I wanted to see more of because of the human side to it that I do think gets lost in a lot of the court cases and the legalities and the news and all of that. It lost what happened here, and that was a man died for no good reason and was taken away, was ripped away from his young children and wife. And that is really the story that was told with Dark Side of the Ring, the Owen Hart special. We are going to take a break. As I promised, we will brighten things up in the second hour of the show. Mark Andrada will join me next, and we'll take a look back at what you probably watched last night, and that was a very fun AEW Double or Nothing. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event and doing so on TSN Radio. Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Well, that was just hour one, but if you want hour two, then please sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/SNMEradio. It's just a dollar a week. You get the full 2 hour show, commercial free, and along with that, all of our bonus podcasts that include the Midweek Markout, All Elite Weekly, Sunday Morning Trivia, and Dan Lavransky's Music Show. All of that comes to you for just a dollar a week. So go get it right now. Patreon.com/SNMEradio.